Hello, Knan Lipschitz. How are you?
I'm good, Kathy. How are things?
Very good, thanks. Okay, so we've been having a bit of fun with foreskins this afternoon. We're talking about foreskins anyway. But it's actually quite serious. In the Swedish Central Party, they are trying to ban non-medical circumcision. Have you been reporting on it?
Yeah, I wouldn't know about playing with foreskins.
No, let's move on.
Or unfortunately, I don't know. I have no experience in the field, but I do have been following what European, Northern European parties have been saying about circumcision. And the center party, the liberal party in Sweden, and basically it adopted as its official position that it wants to ban this practice.
Yeah. What are the chances that they will?
Well, the center party is not a ruling party. So it basically has only 8% of the vote. Even if they do support it, they'll have to pass it in parliament. Right now, the chances of this happening in Sweden are slim, but this is part of a much, much bigger issue throughout Europe. Eventually the dam will break. Eventually one of those countries will pass a law banning circumcision. The chances are only increasing. They're already cracking down on shechita, on ritual slaughter,
sure,
for a combination of reasons. It's a perfect storm. The story of circumcision in 2012 really got a boost when a German court in Köln decided that it was a form of child abuse. And there was an outcry because, of course, Germany was the country that outlawed circumcision when the Nazis came to power, along with other Jewish rituals. There was a lot of baggage there. And eventually they rescinded the verdict and everything is okay in Germany right now. But since then, we've seen parties in Sweden, three parties today, adopting this position. We've seen 50,000 people signing a petition in Denmark demanding that parliament outlaws circumcision, ritual circumcision of underage boys, I should say. And we've seen Iceland actually submitting a bill to ban this.
I find it fascinating. I mean, I know that one of the conversations that you and I had, I think, Knan, is... or actually it might have been somewhere else another conversation that I was having, is that, you know, with this tremendous influx of refugees from the Middle East, all of a sudden you took what was happening is ritual slaughter, which was being done on the quiet and away from the public eye, was now being done in a very, very public way in Denmark and Sweden and Norway, where all of a sudden the Muslim population went from 5% to whatever it is. And that has actually prompted these political parties to drive bills to ban, ritual slaughter.
I think that's certainly one of the, motivations. Obviously, the Jews are seen here as in this element of the problem as collateral damage, because you have conservative right-wing parties, even xenophobic ones, that view Muslim rituals as foreign to society. What are they going to do? They're going to immune society by banning them. And who gets hurt? Of course, it would be unconstitutional in those countries to only ban the Muslim customs when the Jewish ones are almost the same, so they ban everyone. And Marine Le Pen, the leader of the French far right, said,
she's a big lover of Jews, yes, Marine Le Pen. She loves us,
yeah,
Knan.
She said, well, she certainly says she loves us, I don't know about it. So she said, asking you Jews to make this sacrifice, I'm going to ban the Muslim veil if I become president, and you're going to have to sacrifice your kippah, because the Constitution forbids me from making a distinction. Even though your kippah, I don't perceive as a threat. That's what she said. Okay, that's one part of the problem. But on top of that, you have well-meaning liberals, perhaps radicalized in their progressive positions because of the success of the far right, also cracking down on circumcision, especially in Northern Europe. That's why it's happening in Northern Europe, because you have ultra progressives and you have the combination of the ultra conservatives, and they create this perfect storm of cracking down on religious rituals that are shared by Muslims and Jews. And I'll give you a stunning example of Anne Lindboom. She's basically the person in charge of the child welfare in all Nordic states. That's Finland, Sweden, Iceland, and Norway. And she said, why can't you, Jews and Muslims, instead of this barbaric custom that causes damage to the children, I'm paraphrasing here, why don't you make some sort of symbolic act where you, I don't know, tear some cloth or just make something up. So she's teaching Muslims and Jews how to be Muslims and Jews out of social sensitivity, but she wants to balance it with the welfare of children.
It's so interesting because, I mean, for some people, for example, don't like sex, right? So, you know, maybe those people could also have a symbolic act instead of having sex with a spouse who you're no longer attracted to. Do you know what I mean? Like give charity or take up knitting. Go and knit 5 rows of a scarf. It's a symbolic act. I'm sure that your spouse will love you. I'm sorry. I think that the world has lost its mind.
I'm thinking of it from a different take. I'm thinking to be Jewish in Sweden today, between this perfect pincer movement of right-wing anti-Semitism on the one hand. I wouldn't want to be a Jew in Malmo, that's for sure.
I wouldn't want to be a European in Europe.
I think time's up for Swedish Jews, I've got to tell you. That's what my gut's telling me. I think Europe's
done. Knan Lipschitz, thank you very, very much. Hopefully you'll be coming to Africa one day. And Simon, I can take you around. But we wish you a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. And I'm sure that this story isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It'll be an ongoing conversation. Thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.